This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi of the Common Sense Campaign, an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash and an anonymous donor. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
And good morning right back to you there, Miss Laura. You're looking quite dapper this morning.
Thank you. Happy
Friday.
A little
bit of sunshine out there. Happy Friday.
And Dr. Lou is all patriotic and yet another American flag type
right.
shirt.
Well, I mean, now that Judd is going to be, you know, videotaping this, I thought it's appropriate to show the flag. So
okay.
That's what I'm doing. So, Judd, thank you for being here this morning. This is quite nice again, and we're going to do this. And we'll
Where
see.
Are the videos posted? Are you putting
well,
them on your website?
We're going to post them different places. So, it's just,
okay.
as with everything, it's a slow evolution to success. Okay, so
okay.
we'll get on that. All right, so what do we want to talk about today? Let's see. Could we want to talk about, you know, FBI Director Wray? Yes, the answer is we are going to talk about him and his somewhat devious testimony, if you want to call it testimony. Do want to get into that. I want to talk about Biden and NATO, kind of important. I'd certainly like to talk about what's going on in this whole business with Biden and Israel, okay? There's a question about what's happening, too, in the whole issue regarding the, well, I'm having a brain aneurysm, okay?
Uh-oh, okay.
All right, so I know what I want to talk about. I don't have to repeat all this.
Are we going to talk about the fact that Secret Service just can't figure out who brought cocaine into the White House?
Well,
There's too many people milling about.
Get a news flash that the White House cocaine investigation is over. Newsflash. Okay, so that ends that. How about another newsflash?
How stupid do they think we are?
Well, I guess pretty stupid. Here's another newsflash. 3,000 reservists are supposed to be going to Europe. Not close to Russia, maybe, but maybe they are. In a support role. Okay, so what are we doing with that? The other newsflash, the Democrats are worried about, they're anxious, according to the news report that I saw, anxious about Biden in 2024, because he's slow getting off the start with his campaign, and his polls are in the tank. They need to be anxious about it, but they're the ones that wanted him, so maybe they're going to get stuck with him, okay? DeSantis is having problems, newsflash, because some of his major donors are questioning why he had such a slow start. I think that they just need to give DeSantis a chance to be DeSantis and quit fooling around with playing with all that. So at any rate, those are a couple of news flashes before we get into the meat of the discussion today. Let's talk about this business with Wray's testimony, all right? He said, among other things, that it's insane to think that he is biased against conservatives. Okay, so how is it that the FBI sat on the Hunter Biden text to Zoe for all of these years? Now, we've been through the Zoe text and all like that, and it came up with Gal Luft too, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. But the point is, you have a real smoking gun and the FBI does nothing with it. How about another little smoking gun? Whatever happened to the pipe bomber on January 6th? I mean, did he just disappear? I mean, we saw videos of him, but we're going to certainly assume that the FBI, the premier agency for finding people and blah, 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 can't track this guy down. I don't think so, okay? I also kind of wonder about his claim that we don't censor. Really? I mean, on the one hand, he offers testimony of no censorship. But then there's an alternate reality out there that's based in part on the Twitter files, which kind of said just the opposite, that the FBI and other government agencies were involved in making sure that certain messages were not put out there. Certain people were canceled. okay? And on top of that evidence, you also have the situation where Missouri and Louisiana, their AGs filed suit, and guess what? As I mentioned to you, I think last week or the week before, a judge in Louisiana, Dowd, issued a 155-page report that confirmed the censorship. So why in the world are we supposed to accept at face value what Ray has said, okay? And I would argue that this, that his defense of the FBI basically saying, well, you know what, all those people who did all those bad things before, they're gone. So we don't have to worry about that. Well, I don't think it's quite that easy, because the lower ranks are filled with the same people who put them into senior leadership positions, maybe not at the top, but that second and third strata is filled by people that Peter Strzok, McCabe, and all the rest of them, Comey, put in place. So we're supposed to believe that there's been this instantaneous changeover to where, oh, now we're going to be clean, we're going to be above board, we're going to be the old FBI. I don't think so. I think my one question to Ray is, as he's watched all of this from his position, and all of this crap was going on with Comey and all the rest of it, why didn't he just resign? That would have been the principled thing to go. But oh no, he rode it out to the top. So it seems to me that Ray has a lot of splaining to do, but he ain't explaining. He's just taking the fifth, essentially, by saying, oh, this is under investigation, so we can't really talk about it. BS, okay? I mean, it stretches credulity to believe that he couldn't answer Gates's question about the Zhao. I love this. The Zhao text where Hunter is saying, look, if you don't do what I want right now, and I've got my father right here, then bad things are going to happen, and I'm not going to forget it. So Congressman Gates from Pensacola area asked Ray, don't you think this looks like a shakedown? And Ray says, no. And Gates says, you look incurious or uncurious. And then Gates follows it up with, you're suspiciously uncurious. And then Gates finally said, I just really believe that you're just hiding this. You're protecting Biden. And of course, Ray comes out quickly and says, I'm not protecting anyone, blah, blah, blah. Really? The recent history and those things that I've already talked about kind of bring you to the point where if they're not protecting Biden, then what are they doing? How do they bury things for years? How do they aid in the obstruction of the IRS whistleblowers' investigation if they're not playing with to protect Biden? So I'll kind of leave it at that. But I do think that in the end, Ray does have lots of splaining to do. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Biden and NATO. All right. It's interesting to note that Biden keeps saying we're back, that NATO's unified. Well, there's two ways to look at this. NATO may be back partially, but the only reason they're even back sort of is because Trump pushed them to do what? Pay up. Now, you know, the liberals went crazy because, oh my gosh, Trump is going to destroy the premier national security alliance. On the other hand, one could argue that it's a shell of alliance if it's not willing to ante up what's necessary to defend Europe. Now, it's interesting that the Europeans don't want to defend themselves, and we have to bear the burden of it. I get that, and we've been willing to do it ever since World War II. I mean, the clear lesson from World War II was, don't let aggression go too far. Okay, so That's the lesson of World War II with Hitler. Why isn't it the lesson with Putin, given where we are today? And if it is the lesson, then why is it that we have to, you know, use a stick to get these Europeans to get off their duffs to do something to help Ukraine? I mean, it's an interesting question. I mean, have they learned nothing? I will say this. The Finns, who had to deal with the Russians in 1940 when the Russians decided they wanted to take over Finland and they got their asses beat, the Finns have decided that, maybe it's time for us to join NATO. Okay, fine. Then Sweden wants to join too. But our buddy Erdogan in Turkey is kind of holding them up because he wants them to release some Kurdish terrorists, according to Erdogan's calculation. So Sweden may not get in because it's a unanimous, you know, vote. And one person, Turkey, can hold it up. So we'll see where that goes. My point here is that Finland and Sweden are starting to come around to the idea that maybe Putin just could be a problem for them too. Lithuania, the other Baltic states, are in the crosshairs. So to a certain degree, what Biden is attempting to do is correct in that we need to be able to have the NATO umbrella to protect Europe, which is what the whole thing was all about in 1949. Unfortunately, though, one of the predicates for, you know, the umbrella being, you know, useful is that there has to be a sense of deterrence associated with what we're doing. So run the reel back just a year and a half ago, before Putin decided he was going to attack Ukraine. And what you end up seeing is a complete lack of deterrence because Biden would not come through with the kind of arms that would have given the Ukrainians, you know, the ability to at least fight immediately. Now, to Biden's credit, he finally did something. But, I mean, we keep chasing this rabbit of what's necessary to get the Ukrainians to be able to fight for themselves. And, of course, my point all along has been, if they can't give them the anti-air capability that they need, then, you know, the Ukrainians are just open to any kind of attack, missile, aircraft, whatever, which is exactly what's happened. And, of course, Putin is using the same tactics that he's turned loose on Syria, you know, and other places. Bomb the civilians, break their will, and don't worry about targeting civilians. It's irrelevant to them. So you have all of these kinds of issues bound up in his NATO visit. And yet, you know, it seems to me that we're chasing a rabbit in terms of trying to come to some sort of conclusion about how this is going to end. I mean, the usual construction is that there's going to be some sort of a negotiation to lead to some sort of a settlement. Or not, like in World War II, where it took the A-bombs, two of them, to knock out the Japanese. So my point here, though, is that what are we doing? And again, this comes back to the approach that Biden seems to be taking. What are we doing to take advantage of the fact that Putin has a weak spot? He's had the Wagner Group revolt. It looks as though the counteroffensive is actually working. So wouldn't it make sense for Biden just to go to Moscow and meet Putin? Have a little talk. See what's going on. See if we can't broker some sort of a deal. Rather than letting the Chinese become the preeminent broker of deals in the world, as they are trying to do with the Saudis and the Iranians. Can you believe this? So here we are, not willing to go down the road of negotiating with Putin. Now, it's difficult for me to understand. On the one hand, we're all out for Ukraine, okay? But on the other hand, we're not all out for trying to settle this thing. And why are we leaving the field open to the Chinese? I mean, the short answer to that one, though, is, well, Dr. Liu, don't you know that Biden is compromised? Yes, I know that. But that doesn't mean that he can't be aggressive in terms of negotiating with Putin, you know? At what point does his being compromised take us to the point where he's willing to let this war rage on with all of the problems associated with the possibility of a Russian-U.S. confrontation over it? And what's going to be the trigger for confrontation? Is the trigger going to be cluster bombs? Well, we don't know that. Is it going to be sending F-16s? Is it going to be sending longer-range missiles that the Ukrainians might just decide that they're going to go ahead and employ against Russian stockpiles in the near area there? At what point does this become a U.S.-Russian confrontation? And it seems to me that we all have an interest in A, stopping Putin. I get that. But we also have an interest in not seeing a nuclear confrontation, a 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis associated with what's going on in Ukraine. I mean, I think we can have our cake and eat it too. I think we can send Putin a very clear message. You can't do what you want. If you go into Ukraine, you're going to pay a price. If you dare to go into the Baltic states, which are now members of NATO, you are going to pay an even worse price. But just because I'm willing to say Putin has to pay a price doesn't mean I'm willing to see a nuclear confrontation over Ukraine. It seems like I said, we can have our cake and eat it too. But it means that Biden has got to do. And here again, I mean, it's the whole Democrat, Biden, Blinken, all of them. Their approach to international relations has been weak since Biden took office. And as Gates, who was former CIA director, former Secretary of Defense under Obama, said, Joe Biden has been wrong about every foreign policy issue he's had to deal with. Well, there you have it. I mean, we have someone who has been wrong, wrong, and wrong, and he's letting this war in Ukraine rage on without, as far as we can see publicly, no attempt to move towards some sort of a peaceful resolution. Now, I understand Zelensky doesn't want to give up any territory. I get that. And we don't want to reward Putin for his aggression. On the other hand, there are issues that need to be addressed. And I think those issues can be addressed in a reasonable way, despite the fact that the war is going on now. So all I'm suggesting is Biden, who's been wrong on so many different issues, it seems to me that it's time for Biden to get moving in the right direction, okay? Well, since I'm talking about Biden and issues, foreign policy issues, let me jump off of my schedule and get right to this next one, which has to do with Biden and Netanyahu and Israel. Senator Cruz the other day mentioned that the Biden administration has imposed a portion of the BDA movement, okay? Boycott, D, divestment, and S, sanctions, okay?
Okay.
So that's what it means. Now you have this BDA approach to cancer research in an Israeli hospital, university, on the West Bank. Now, the issue is that the West Bank was taken from the Palestinians in the 1967 war, the June war. And of course, in the Yom Kippur war, the Israelis took the Golan Heights from Syria. Now, under Trump recognized the Israeli right to have the Golan Heights, okay? I mean, it's part of what happens when you lose a war. You lose territory. And in this particular case, the Golan Heights are strategically important, as are, the portions of the West Bank that were taken by the Israelis. But you see, that doesn't sit well with the pro-Palestinian, lefties back here in the United States. So their way to punish Israel is through BDA. BDA has never been imposed on the Israelis except now through Biden. And you can say, well, it's just over one issue. Well, this is an issue that has strategic importance for the Israelis. It certainly goes to the heart of what they have had to deal with Hezbollah and Hamas and the Iranian connection to both of those terrorist groups. So how is it that Biden is willing to play ball with BDA? And here again, put this into some context in terms of the relationship that the Biden administration has with Netanyahu. Guess what? They hate him, okay? Obama, when he was in power, along with Vice President Biden, they tried to defeat Netanyahu's bid for leadership in Israel. Obama sent money and operatives to help Netanyahu's opponent. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems to me that's sort of one of those crossing the line type things. But they hate Netanyahu because, as Cruz said, he is very Churchillian in how he sees things, like Iran is a threat to the United States as well as to Israel. I mean, they don't chant death to America and death to Israel every day without having a reason for that. And if the Iranians ever get closer to the nuke, let's put it this way, and I've said this to you all before, I'll say it again. If I'm an Israeli, if I'm Jewish, never again means something. And if Netanyahu doesn't take the Iranian bomb facilities out, then shame on him. Shame on him. But you don't have to worry about him not taking them out, which drives Kerry and Biden and all the softy lefties who think that they can take, the Iranians and get another nuclear deal like Obama did. And again, I'm not going to go down this road again. It was a crappy deal to begin with. It never should have been done. And Trump was right to scrap it. And he was right to put sanctions on them that brought them to their knees. But oh no, Biden and them want to give them millions, billions of dollars back so that they can be lured back into the nuke deal. The hell with that. Absolute hell with it. So I just hope that Netanyahu can deal with this, because again, this leads me into my next talk. Gallup.